You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Hey, Browns fans, secure your Cleveland Browns season tickets for 2014. You can do that today. Place your deposit to lock in the best seats and prices. Don't miss your chance to join the best fans in the NFL at First Energy Stadium. Visit clevelandbrowns.com or call 440-824-3434. Call us at 216-578-0850. Nathan, I think some people have done that.
They have called us. Some barks from the dog pound. And also want to remind you guys to go, if you can't, you know, if you want to stay connected to the Browns, you get this show Monday through Friday, 1 to 3. But also go over to clevelandbrowns.com. You can read great articles from the notorious one himself, Vic Carucci, see videos, as well as get a very good article, I think, from Matt Florjancic about a critical stretch that lies ahead for this Cleveland Browns team with the playing their next three games against the AFC North Division competition, two of those at home. So you can check that out all right now at clevelandbrowns.com. Let's get some barks from the pound right now after a close loss, a loss still, but one that was certainly feels a lot better to me than the two that preceded it. We're going to go to Will in Cleveland now. Will, welcome to CBD.
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Good. Right, how are you?
I'm pretty good. Two quick points. One, I think our offensive line kind of took offense to all this Chiefs over under 10 sacks and all this, and those guys really stepped to the plate. But, Vic, I got a question for you. At what point, like, you know, even though, you know, Joe is our best player on the team over the years, you almost got to say he almost had a Debron Best type game as well, man, because, you know, those penalties late in the game, man, that holding call when we had first and 10 late in the fourth quarter, that took us right out of field goal range, you know, that has to go down as a drop ball. But, you know, people don't see it that way, man. But Joe kind of had a tough game. I think he was flagged about three times, and I hate to come down on Joe, but Joe's a pretty stand-up guy. I think he'll be the first to tell you.
Yeah.
You know, that's all. I just wanted to hear what you guys had to say.
Sure, Will, and thank you for the call. No doubt, Joe Thomas, the false start that he had, false starts, I guess, that he had, which were not unexpected in an environment like that, but I guess the guy that you expect to avoid that is the six-time Pro Bowler, is the guy who's been this veteran presence. But, no, it was the holding penalty. Now, there's been some debate over how legit that was. Rob Chudzinski mentioned that they are sending in the tape of that to the league for review. What do you get out of that? You don't get anything out of it. The league might tell you, yeah, our guy missed that call or it wasn't a great call that he made, so you don't feel any better about it. My sense was after the game was that the official might have taken that one back. I heard this rumbling in the locker room that maybe it wasn't as legit a holding call as some holding calls have been made. In fact, I don't think he actually held the guy from what I know. But everybody's accountable. Well, I don't want to get away from the thought that, you know, you don't want to take a guy off the hook. If you're going to point fingers in the direction of a Devon Best, you can point him in other directions as well. This was still a team loss. He made some critical plays in a tight game that you can focus on more, but I thought overall, Nathan, a lot of people needed to play better the entire game.
Absolutely, and that's why it's a team game. It's played over the course of 60 minutes, and I think you're exactly right. I think that, you know, penalties are a fact of life in the NFL. Good calls and bad calls are a fact of life in the NFL. And obviously that was a momentum killer. You just hit the 36-yard pass to Jordan Cameron, who made an unbelievable individual effort with his head on a swivel both ways, turns around, falls to the ground, catches that. Then you get 9 yards, and all of a sudden you're thinking, here we are, second and one at the Kansas City 27, but it cuts called back from the holding. Campbell sacked on the next play, and all of a sudden you've lost 20 yards in two plays. Kind of ends everything. And then you get the great special teams play, you know, down to the two, landing punts it right down to the 2 yard line. You get it back, and then the muff punt. And that's where those are the plays that are the difference between winning and losing in the National Football League. Those are the plays right there that change everything, because you kicked it down there, you get a quick three and out, you get the ball back, and you muff that punt with 7 minutes and 13 seconds left. That to me is, you were able to overcome the holding because you basically got a reset. You dominated field position. You took advantage of it with a great punt. You got it down. The defense did their job, and then that. So you had two mistakes in, you know, a close period of time. One, which was, I would say, an official mistake more than a player mistake, and then one certainly was a player mistake. Those are the things that are crippling, and those are the differences between winning and losing in the National Football League.
Without a doubt. Berea, we go to now to talk with Barbara. Oh, she just dropped right before her big chance.
That's right. You know,
Robert, dial us back up. How about Josh in Toledo? He's on the line.
Hey, what's going on, guys? How you doing today?
All right, man. What do you got?
Hey, quick, Well, I'll tell you what. Obviously, yesterday, signs of improvement. Not quite where we want him, but, hey, you got to do what you got to do. As far as the whole Best situation goes, I believe we're about a week too late. Would you guys ever consider bringing Josh back to return punts if he hadn't been signed by the Jets last week? I'll go ahead and leave it at that.
Josh Cripps, I don't see that. No, I don't see it. And I'm not sure how much of an impact he's really going to have for you as a returner at this stage. Just at this stage, looking at him at this stage of his career, it's not doing it for me that I see a guy that makes that kind of a difference for you. I know it's about fielding as much as it is also about returning, but you do have to have those returns. And as I look at what the Browns situation is, and it's fairly desperate because they're,
yeah,
if Devon Best does not respond the way we think, or do we think that he can't do better or that he can get out of this funk that he's in? And I want to believe that he can because of what I've seen of him, but it's now multiple games, and I just don't know where his head is at this point.
Yeah, now it's clearly a slump, and it's clearly impacting this team. And over the last 2 weeks, he's been targeted by his quarterbacks 14 times, and he has produced in those a grand total of 38 yards receiving. You can't have that type of a void of production. That does not work in the National Football League. When you throw 14 passes to a wide receiver, you need to get more than 38 yards. That's not even 3 yards per target. So he's really struggling. Obviously, his head is somewhere that, you know, it's tough. This is a guy in the first 3 weeks of the season, Vic, had 17 catches on 28 targets. Very solid. Right where he's been for his career. That's what you expect out of Devon Best. 5 catches a game. Since then, he has caught a grand total of 11 passes in the last 5 games. He has not reached 30 yards receiving in any of them. He's an important piece of this offense,
right?
Because ultimately, as we talked about, Josh Gordon is great. Jordan Cameron is great. But to ask them to produce 213 out of 290 yards passing week after week is going to be very difficult to do. Other people are going to have to step up. And Devon Best is a guy that right now needs to step up for the Cleveland Browns now. And with the injury to Travis Benjamin, it's even more imperative. And Barbara is back.
She's
and we're
back.
Excited about that. Barbara, welcome to CBD.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Good. Yeah, my comment was like the other gentleman's comment about Joe Thomas. You know, he's a great player and everything, and I'm a big fan of his. But he did have some critical penalties, you know, towards the end. And plus the other team, you know, the rest of the penalties on the team. I think the false starts are ridiculous. You know, any team that has false starts, that's just a ridiculous thing. It should never happen, whether it's crowd noise or what. But I think, you know, the whole team did good, not great. And I am a 35-year season ticket holder. We go to all the games, and we are totally behind the Browns. But I was encouraged, disappointed at the end how it ended, because I really thought we had a good chance for a pass at the end, but that those last penalties just killed us.
Yeah. Good assessment, Barbara.
And you talk about penalties. The Cleveland Browns offense right now, second in the NFL with 60 penalties.
Yeah.
The only team with more penalties is the New York Jets. That's not good.
And it's been a problem. It's not only not good, Nathan, it's been a problem since the preseason.
Since
the preseason, this team was upwards of 9 to 12 penalties a game. I identified as much. I talked about it on ClevelandBrowns.com, wrote about it, and said, you know, this is the thing that you've got to get out of a habit of doing. The one thing the preseason shows you, because it wasn't just the guys who weren't going to be on the team any longer after preseason cuts or regular season final roster setting. It's some of the mainstays, some of the regulars.
Yeah.
And you've got to avoid that. You saw names like Joe Hayden, DeQuell Jackson on those penalty lists, Joe Thomas again. So that has to be avoided. And I'm not sure what it is. It's coaching reinforcement for sure. But I think there has to be a better awareness of how little margin for error you have if you're this football team.
There's no doubt about it. And when you're the Cleveland Browns, and right now you're struggling to run the football, you have what you can call 2 playmakers in the offense. You cannot give away 546 yards in penalties. That's the most in the NFL. No team has given up more yards on offense due to penalties than this Cleveland Browns team. And at some point, the onus has... I know the coaches can't play, but you and I have talked about this many times. Penalties are often that falls on the coaches. The coaching staff has to do something about that. And right now, that's a big problem. And on defense, you know, those are just the offensive numbers. 60 penalties, second most, 546 penalty yards. Those are the most in the NFL. The defense has been penalized 50 times. That's 12th most this season. And in terms of penalty yards allowed, 427, 14th most. So they're in the bottom half in both, but egregious right now on offense. And those are drive killers for a team that isn't one of the offensive juggernauts in the National Football League.
No, you can't do it. And you lose a six-point game, and that's when you look at nine penalties, 70 yards. That's when you look at that and say, that's a big problem. So it's a big problem anytime, but it's a bigger problem when the score is that close, when you have that kind of an opportunity to win a game like that
as
on the
did.
Road as they could have. All right. We've got more coming up for you. We're going to go inside the locker room. We'll take you there with Jameer Howerton. Going to sit down with Alex Mack from that offensive line that did such a stellar job of protecting Jason Campbell yesterday. That's coming up at the top of the hour. It'll be the head coach of the Browns, Rob Chudzinski. You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on a Football Monday, a Reaction Monday, on ESPN 850 WKNR.